You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
So, what are you guys going to do? You going to continue to be a bunch of soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires?
They said all along, perfection is not possible. We just want to get the big decisions right.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Green room getting hot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
The right answer was a goal in Times Square so we could do butts up. But that was an easy one.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com. As always, I'm Andrew Wiebe, David Goss, Matt Doyle. It's a Monday. We're here in the green room, and we're going to delay the CCL fever talk. We put it in the first segment for the finals. It deserved it. We did it. Now we got to push it back to the second because, by God, anything we can change to change the outcome of this thing, we will do.
All right. I like that.
Yeah. Wednesday, that's when the second leg goes down. Of course, Toronto FC are down 2-1 to Chivas Guadalajara. 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Univision Deportes, TSN, go 90 if you want to stream it here in the U.S. And because I'm a genius, I scheduled myself to be on a cross-country flight Wednesday night.
Oh,
from
stop.
Starting at 9 p.m.
Stop.
Starting at 9 p.m.
I literally
just realized this. This is when you know dad brain has just it just ravaged everything reasonable about
you.
You
have
life.
To reschedule that.
Yeah, you have to.
I can't. Why? I can't because it'll cost a bunch of money, and I just the powers that be will say no.
You can't.
You know what
you can't
should
use
do
some of your tan?
You should do when you show up. You should go to the front desk and be like, hey, if there's anyone on standby, I would like to be off this flight first. So maybe you get stuck in the airport a little bit
maybe
longer.
Maybe get a
little
extra cashish from the airline.
Well, I wasn't talking about that part. But
I mean, no, look at this.
I got flights home.
Right?
It's like baby's places. Got to go cross country again later on this year on my own dime.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing me. I just read out what time this game was, and I was like, wait a minute. Are you kidding?
I've made a huge mistake.
Wow. I don't know that that's a dad brain thing. I think that's just a
probably
bad
a
weeby
brain thing. Gam Tam and Sam.
Yeah, 100%. He left his wallet somewhere as well while he's booking
right.
it.
I'm very.
It's
bad
actually
at that.
In LA already.
Uh-huh. Sam Station doesn't come up. He's going to talk Fire. He's going to talk Dallas. He's going to talk Fernando Torres. The window. USGM position, which remains unfilled. Ben Bear is going to be here for the mailbag. He has what I would call some interesting thoughts on Patrick Vieira and those Arsenal links.
Mm-hmm.
So I just assume that...
Look, NYCFC had 80% possession and lost 3-0. It feels like he's ready for Arsenal.
Yes, that's a good point. Great point.
I still can't get over the fact that you booked a flight during the CCL final.
Oh, God, I don't
because
know.
You booked this flight recently. I'm aware
I
of
booked
that.
It like
so
two
it's
days
not
ago.
Like you booked it 6 months ago and you didn't know when the CCL
Correct.
Final was or who would be in it.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Well, the reason why I'm on this flight.
Now I feel good. I feel like TFC's definitely going to get it done now.
This was like that. This is that reverse psychology aspect. You know, we got to get that news into the TFC locker room. I think they'll be good to go. You're going to be there, though.
I will be there.
You're in Guadalajara.
I am in. Well, no, I'm currently in New York. Well,
correct. But
I
you
will
be.
In
be
yes.
In Guadalajara,
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to the game or the tequila tasting?
Well, I will not be there as long as I'd like. Otherwise, I would be in the town of tequila for most of my trip. I'm looking forward to the game. Yeah. I've also heard about these amazing tortas
right.
that they make in Jalisco, which is the state, where it's basically like hoagie style, where they swamp it in like chili sauce. So it's
okay.
like your normal sandwich, and then they just
but with
douse
the juices.
It. They just douse it in juice, and you're like,
see, I'm looking forward to your Instagram feed now.
So
that's
actually,
good stuff.
In Jalisco, you should go mezcal because tequila is basically something that they make for Americans.
No, the town of tequila
I understand
is in
that.
Jalisco.
Yeah, I understand that.
Oh, but you're saying that that's a thing.
Correct.
That's a
tequila
trap.
Tequila is something that you export. Mezcal is something that is actually traditionally
okay. That's good to that's
consumed.
Good to know.
So just, you know, keep that in mind.
You've traveled a bit in Mexico, though,
I
right?
have. I've never been to that area. I've been to Mexico City, and I've been on the East Coast a bit as
okay.
well. So, like, the...
Do you have a favorite part of Mexico so far?
Like...
Do you have a favorite taco?
I do have a favorite taco. I had an unbelievable meal in Mexico City.
I'm partial to anything pork refried in its own.
Oh, tinga. I like spicy chicken.
Okay. There you go.
I had a meal in Mexico City one time where I ate 2-year-aged mole.
I've had that as well.
Yeah.
I actually didn't love it.
I actually had that in San Diego.
Wow.
Doesn't count. Doesn't count. The reason why I'm on this flight, the reason why Dave's on a flight after the CCL final is because we are going to be in L.A. on Sunday. Bank of California Stadium opens the first ever game at home for LAFC. Extra Time Live will be there. So if you haven't followed our Facebook page, go do that now so you can get the alert, so you can watch the show. We're basically going to be hanging out in the parking lot with the fans. We're going to be showing you around the stadium, around the training facility, interviews, Bob Bradley, players, ownership, you name it. We are going to experience Bank of California Stadium for you, which I now – it's not as selfless as I thought it was, but it's still going to be a lot of fun, and, you know, it's a great way to build up for this game.
How did you think it was selfless?
In, you know,
in
we're,
what
we're
sense?
Men of the people. This is a service organization, Doyle.
We're a vessel.
Right. And you can consume from us.
We are the hot dog for
right.
the mustard. Bank okay. of California Stadium is
got
the mustard.
Got you. Who's the bun in this scenario?
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Weeby.
Okay. Just,
oh okay. One of us is from Kansas. One of us, pretty white bread.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Go follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/extratimelive.
This
of course,
awesome.
It'll be pushed out.
So far, we've been talking about soccer channels. The whole time,
yeah.
and somehow we're still off the rails with this show.
Also, we'll be at the LA Galaxy game on Saturday.
Yes, we will.
So hit
Saturday.
Us up if you want
to
hang
and
out.
And we'd like
meet
to play
up.
Some pickup.
Yep. So hit us up if you're around.
Wait a minute.
Meet up.
Can you, in your advanced physical age, and you hobbled into this room,
I played pickup with Dave this weekend, then I walked an hour afterwards, and now I feel like I've just been
but
beaten with a steel rod.
He showed up
from
to pick up
down.
In a full kit.
He
then I was like, into the full kit,
then,
to be
but,
fair.
But
I didn't show
yeah,
up in the full
no,
kit.
No, you played in a full kit.
Yeah, well.
And then was like, uh-oh, I forgot my ankle braces, and proceeded to play half speed because of his ankle brace
correct.
Situation. So if anyone has a game, they also need to provide medical coverage. There needs to be a helicopter on site
right.
to medevac mm-hmm. just in case Weeby gets injured, and everyone has to play at half speed.
I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah, the number one thing we need to have are the guys who run out of the field with a stretcher.
Yes.
And then run off and perhaps drop me.
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff. This yes. is good content. I'm
now,
in for this.
Are you guys are going to the Galaxy game as civilians?
You know, we are civilians, but we will not be there as civilians. Match day central
they're making
action
you. They're making you work.
Well, I texted Ziggy because I've seen that back line
mm-hmm.
in the last few weeks.
So you're
so
willing to step
I
in?
I might step in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, why did they even draft Thomas Hilliard-Arce if they're not going to play him?
With I don't
the
know.
Back line being that bad.
I have no idea.
We were going to start.
I was going to start
LAFC.
I have a lot of questions about
but
LA
we can
Galaxy.
Start LA Galaxy. Let's jump right into it here.
You want to do it?
Zlatan used a four-letter word that rhymes with.
Go ahead.
Spit.
Hit.
I couldn't think of something.
That actually really wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but I was trying to do HIT.
You are not.
So you can
you're not going to have a career as either a rapper or a poet.
No, probably not.
That is news from Matt Doyle. Right uh-huh.
Breaking news here on ETR. Look, Atlanta United are Atlanta United. They want to hit you on the counter. They want to get Miguel Almiron in open space. Joseph Martinez is angry 95% of the time. And they're 2-0 winners at the Galaxy. Like I said, Zlatan called it, what was it here? We did too many simple mistakes. We watched the player instead of watching the ball. In the first half, we were not organized. It was confusion in the game. The outcome of the week wasn't the best. It was the opposite. It was spit. But okay, spit happens also. I mean, bless the man, but don't bless this result if you're a Galaxy fan. Jonathan Dos Santos pulls off with a calf injury in warm-ups. Mm-hmm. Bajo Husidic comes in and they got overrun.
Yeah. Outshot 19-7, outpossessed 54-45. So Atlanta United are really good on the counterattack, but I can't call them a counterattacking team. Right now it seems like they're just a really complete team, and if you don't have a plan for how to go at them through the midfield, you're not even going to get the ball into the attacking third. And that's what, to me, that's what happened to the Galaxy. They have some decent pieces, but it seems a little bit freelance out there. And Atlanta
thus,
just polishes
Zlatan calling it was confusion in the game.
Yeah. I actually thought Atlanta was underwhelming in this one. It should have been more than two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it should have been more than two. Based
Joseph
on the
Martinez misses a PK in like a bunny rabbit hop
yeah.
up. Which what are you doing?
And he missed two other like pseudo tap in situations.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, what Zlatan is saying is basic soccer defending. Zlatan's going into a press conference and making a statement about basic soccer defending about his own team. That's how bad it looked at times, especially
yeah.
in the first half, where it was like, you know Almiron's going to jump by this defender. There is no chance in the world that whether it's Steres or
Skelvic.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Fill in the blank. He's
definitely Fleischer.
Them. Yeah.
That they're going to stop any of these guys one-on-one and that they have the idea of
wait,
like.
What did
let's
you say?
Just,
what? Fleischer?
What
Felcher.
Felcher.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost couldn't remember how it was actually said after yeah. that. That was great.
that they have any idea of, okay, let me delay here and get some help because no one's coming back to help. And that all goes to the same point.
It wasn't good. And I'm reading something from Charlie Davies on MLSsoccer.com, which, by the way, Charlie Davies is a pretty dang good writer. Like, what doesn't this guy do well? And he says they got to go to a 4-5-1, the Galaxy. There's no way that Ola Kamara and Zlatan can work together on the field at the same time. And Ola, after this game, is kind of – he's complaining a little bit about the chances he gets, about where he's positioned, about how much he's having to run. Because, remember, this is a guy who wants to live between the center backs. He wants to get off his shoulder. He wants to make the near post run. He wants to be the guy in the box with the final touch. He's not beating people off the dribble. He's not a guy who's going to go out on the wing and create for you. He's not a guy who's going to drop in and create for you. So how do you make these two work together? Or do you get to a point here where you're Siggy Schmidt, where you say, I know we spent a lot on you, Ola. I know you're a really good goal scorer. I know Zlatan is not a 90-minute player. I know I'm going to have a one of you on the field at the same time, unless we're late in the game. We're just throwing everything at the goal. And now we've got Perry, we've got Jonah, we've got Sebastian Legette, we've got Alisson Drini, we've got Giovanni Dos Santos in behind you, and that's our path forward.
So the way that they've put this team together, and I'm using that term loosely, that description loosely, because they haven't really put anything together, just collected assets. They are either going to have to leave one of Zlatan, Ola, Alisson Drini, or Gio Dos Santos on the bench pretty much at all times, right? Because what's the best way to get Ola and Zlatan on the field? You play a 3-5-2, right? That gives you strength through central midfield. It concedes part of the flanks, but it gives you three central defenders as well, which I think might actually help the Galaxy. But you can't play either Alisson Drini or Dos Santos as wingers. That means one of them has to be kind of a false number 10 underneath Zlatan and Ola. Okay, so then you're leaving one of your two DPs on the bench. Or you leave Ola Kamara on the bench and you go to the 4-5-1. There's also, like, what do you do with Sebastian Legette? He's actually better in central midfield. I thought he would have helped them get on the ball and actually do something with it in central midfield, but they have him playing on the wing.
Which, with Jonathan Dos Santos is healthy, okay, but then once he's out, at the start of this game, why not slide? Why isn't that the move that Ziggy made, rather than bring in Baggio to start and then cross?
And look, Giovanni Dos Santos didn't look uninterested. He didn't look bad in this game.
I actually
game.
Thought looked, there yeah, was some pretty spark busy. There yeah, when yeah. he came in.
But by the way, it's been almost a calendar year since he scored for either club or country. Been 11 months since he scored a professional soccer goal.
It's a really long
time. It's a long time.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like a little bit shell-shocked yeah. just hearing that out loud because
Doyle
I kind of assumed that.
Doyle said it. This thing was never created. It was just a collection of this is available, this is good, this is available, this is good. Part of it is three coaches in, whatever, a year and a half, I guess. And so there wasn't really a collective idea, which falls on Chris Klein because he's the constant. And Kurovsky and Vianis and all those guys are the constants. They were the ones who were supposed to
for
get
sure.
you between coaches. And, you know, you don't have a center back and you go out and spend TAM money on Zlatan when you already went out and got Ola. Yeah, I get it. It's Zlatan. I get it. It changed your team or it changes the perception. But that's where you're spending that money.
The flip side of it is, like, you signed Siani. He hasn't been very good. You signed Skelvic. He hasn't
been okay.
as good as you would expect him to be for the price that they paid for him.
He's not going to carry Daniel Starris.
Daniel Starris is a fine player. He's not going to be one of your top two center backs, probably if you're an elite team or maybe even a playoff team.
He probably shouldn't be a starter in MLS.
Tomas Hiladarse, as you said, is out here.
Why draft him number two overall? Like, what? The one time he played, they got a shutout. Like, you know, correlation, causality and all that, but to the eye test, to what he's done in his college career, he looks like an MLS player. Why not give him some run? We're seeing it all over this league. Top draft picks every year are given run, and when given that chance, they're making good on it. Something has to change for the Galaxy. Something has to change.
We've talked about the Galaxy a lot. We'll stop. Ezequiel Barco made his first start in this match. He wasn't – I mean, he was fine.
Yeah, but you can see it. Like, when he turns upfield, when he sees an opening and starts driving forward, unbelievable touch, speed, low center of gravity, hard to get him off the ball. You didn't see that?
I mean, I
didn't see him create the
openings. I thought he looked good. I thought his recognition was a little bit slow. I thought he and Almiron kind of struggled to combine.
I thought that as
at
well.
times.
And I thought when a couple guys afterwards said for Atlanta, like, these two guys and Joseph have great chemistry. And I was like, huh, I didn't really see that in this game. Now, you know, we're talking to Simon at like 3 a.m. Saturday night. And he's like, Barco doesn't look the part. 15 million, it's no good. That's a terrible performance. And I'm like, Simon, this is a teenage kid who's been hurt for 2.5 months. Like, what do you want from
him? Also, who cares about that? It's his first game.
Right.
But,
he came on as a sub, but still, like, I'm like, cut him a break. Like, we're not making a judgment on this kid after one match.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was terrible. He just didn't light it on fire.
I think it's fair to say that the best is yet to come from him and from that whole attack, which is scary when you think about how good they've been over the past.
And also, the best from him might come after Almiron moves on. That might be the reality for him, and that's fine. If he's a good player for them and becomes a great player when he has to fill in that role and gets a little bit more control.
Because this 15 million wasn't, you need to come in and be the man right now. If you don't perform, we won't perform. Yeah. It was 15 million because we know you're an appreciating asset over the course of years. Not days, not weeks, not months, years. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with Ezekiel Barco. Sticking in L.A. here, LAFC, 4 wins in 6 away games. Only 5 teams in the entire league had more than 4 away wins all of 2017. The entire season.
They have 12 road points through, you know, the end of April. That's more than 2 playoff teams in the Western Conference had last year. The Quakes.
Oh, the Houston Dynamo.
And the Quakes and the Dynamo did not have 12 road points last year, and they made the playoffs.
I almost feel like these 4 games are, it's just like, okay, well, you're in the playoffs. Like, if you can do anything at home, if you can be a little bit above average at Bank of California Stadium, you're going to go to the playoffs. All you need is like 2 or 3 more road wins to be basically historic. I think Toronto FC had 7 road wins last year, and we were out here like applauding them. Vancouver Whitecaps had 6.
Toronto led the league with 27 road points last year, which is a great haul. And like LAFC's 45% of the way there. And they're not just doing it. Like, obviously, they got it against a shorthanded Montreal team. And
5-3,
like,
the final score, by the way. And Montreal were up 3-1. Yeah, this was a wild,
wasted,
crazy game.
Wasted a Piatti hat trick. But, like, they went 3-for-4 on the road against Western Conference opponents. And so you're not – those are 6-point games. You're not just collecting points yourself. You're denying home points to RSL, to Seattle. And who else did they beat on the road? Blanking on it. Wasn't the Galaxy.
No. So then that's the other point. They should have had 5.
Yeah.
If not, like, they got Zlatan.
Yeah.
They don't get Zlatan.
So the point, like, these are Vancouver. Vancouver, thank you. These are the results that get you into the playoffs. These are the results that give you breathing room down the stretch. But you're right, Andrew. It's the question now is, what can they be at home?
Yeah, for sure.
Because on the one hand, you're like, you're so good on the road. How great will you be at home? And on the other hand, we have seen in the past teams that are more comfortable on the road. That doesn't mean they always get the results because it's
Galaxy.
Not easy. Yeah. And because there's a requirement of how you play.
I would argue the Whitecaps filled that last year too.
Bob Bradley might not care in the end. But there is a difference between being at home, being on the front foot, controlling the pace of play at all times, and being able to, when you want to, sit back and counter.
You know, and I know you never want to have these prolonged away trips. And you look at history, and it tells you that this shouldn't work this way. Like, you know, Toronto FC in 2016 had a pretty good one. But, you know, like, Houston in 12, KC in 11.
Remember
DC
TFC
right
in
now,
that one, by the way, were better away than they were for at home for the first, like, 2 months once they got back.
But what I'm saying for LAFC is, was this the ideal start for them? To have 6 games in a point of the year in which other teams aren't going to be, like, to the nines, ready to go, and coherent? To be
you also
an unknown,
had no pressure.
Right? To be an unknown, to come out and just say, "Hey, look, you know, everything we get here is a positive, and we're going to sneak up on some teams, and we have Carlos Vela, so he'll be a difference maker that others don't have, and we have Bob Bradley, who's going to be in that locker room telling every single one of you that nobody believes you can do this."
Right. I mean, it feels like it at this point, but it also feels
it worked out.
Hindsight's
20/20. Yeah, it feels very MLS as well, because like we're all praising them for how they've gone out and gotten it done, and now what? They go home and they fall on their face and lose 2 or 3 or something like that. Like, that would be very MLS.
Yeah. So they've got 4 straight home games. Seattle this weekend, once again, Extra Time Live. We will be there. Facebook.com/ExtraTimeLive. Go like or follow the page. Then Dallas the next Saturday, then a Wednesday against Minnesota, and then a Sunday against NYCFC. So it's not an easy one. You've got 2 of Dallas are undefeated. NYCFC just became not undefeated. Minnesota liable to ship 6. So you could win. You could win all 4 of those games, and you could be in a place where you're just kind of saying, hey, this week we have the the chance to be the best expansion team, at least in a regular season, ever. Because you look at last year, Atlanta won four games away all season long.
Yeah.
So if you can find a way to be even like 75% of what Atlanta were at home, you're in the money.
Atlanta's home goal differential was like plus 500.
It was like insane. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And they did it in two places too. When you won't have to do that, you'll be Bank of California TID. Now, Carlos Vela was asked about this after the game, and he kind of like giggled, I felt like, and he was like, you know, we thought, you know, this was going to be tough and we might win two. And if we got three, that'd be incredible. I mean, this is the best start in the league, no doubt.
Yeah.
Sorry, NYCFC. Sorry, Sporting Kansas City. Sorry, Atlanta. Sorry, Dallas.
Yeah, like, you were going to take that long to get to the one undefeated team.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about them
last.
They've
dropped four home points, though.
Yeah, so.
I'm with you. I do have some hesitancy with LAFC, though, just because we saw that what I think is their Achilles heel, their ability to protect the central defense and the ability to win the ball and get pressure on teams through zone 14. Because when it was 11 versus 11, Montreal was getting into that position, getting to that spot and causing real problems.
So it was not 11-v-11 for the whole game. Victor Cabrera sent off for a tackle in the box they called dog. So Bobby Warshaw doesn't even think it's a foul. I think it was a soft PK, but if you call it, it's a red card and that's what happens.
It's a clear penalty.
Yeah, I thought so. It's Bobby on instant replay. That's the way it works. Go check that out on YouTube. Piatti hat trick here. I didn't put him in my top five Argentine number 10s.
He's not really a number 10.
That's what I said.
So when we talk about number 10s, the same with Giovinco. When we talk about number 10s, it's really a colloquialism for a guy whose primary function on the field is chance creation. And that's not the role that Piatti plays. It's not the role that Giovinco plays. It's not really the role that Robbie Keane plays, because their primary function on the field is to get in the box and finish plays.
Well, I would argue that Piatti's primary function is chance creation for himself.
For himself, yeah.
For himself.
Which is not to say he can't do the other one, but he's more of a second striker or a winger than he ever has been.
Which I put Diego Valeri at number 2 in mind.
Is
Diego Valeri recently has that.
What's that?
Is Lee Wynn in number 10?
Yeah.
But he scores goals.
He does.
He just creates more than he scores, you're saying?
And I don't even think it's about creating more. I think it's about...
What is his primary function?
Yeah.
What is his primary function? It's to create
chances. He's the creative fulcrum for the rest of the players.
Correct. Yeah. I had Pipo Higuain at 5, Christian Gomez, who I think you could argue back and forth about whether he's a true number 10 for sure, but I was like, I got to put him in here. He's so underappreciated at 4.
Still playing, by the way.
Yep.
One of the few professional soccer players left in the world who's older than I am.
Javier Morales at 3.
Awesome.
Valeri at 2, Guillermo at number 1. Any beef with that?
I think you could put Javi at number 1. I think you could put Javi at number 1, dude. That team was at or near the top of the standings for like 7 straight years.
But GBS won 2 supporter shields and a cup, was MVP of that cup, was MVP of this league.
For sure.
Yeah, but you would argue that RSL team in their prime was the best team we've seen since like the early 90s? Sorry, since the 90s, right? Oh,
no.
Maybe not Galaxy?
No, because I think the Galaxy were a touch better.
Okay, fine. But still, that RSL team was better than the Columbus team. That's not all to Javi Mo, but I think that
was
goes in
though?
His argument.
I don't know that the results say it.
I
don't know the results say it.
Right.
In terms of quality?
On a day.
But in terms of the way they played, and now you're talking about creative.
The way they played and the longevity. Like, the Columbus team only lasted at that level for 2 years. Now, to be granted, they won back-to-back supporter shields.
And what was the reason they were at that level?
I mean, the GBS was the
main guy. And
he was
an old guy.
Man,
so at some point he leaves.
But like,
don't hate on that. He was
awesome, and you could probably argue that I can't even say this, but like in a big moment or a big game, like his 2008 MLS Cup performance was still arguably the best MLS Cup performance anybody's ever had. He dominated that game.
He gets number 1 for me just because he has the aura. Yeah.
But
and
like,
I love Javi Mo.
Javi Mo, like that goal against Monterrey, it was so good.
I'll give it to you, man.
Also, that Red Bulls team in the 2008 MLS Cup final. Was a USL squad?
No, it wasn't. That team should have been so much.
This is going to be the whole podcast.
We're about to talk about
that.
Kevin.
Was that
How long are we about
they
to talk
got
about Kevin Goldberg?
They got freaking Osorio'd all year. Period.
Fernando Torres, possibility for Montreal. De Santis, the sporting director with the Impact, is apparently in Spain trying to convince him. Would he be a good fit? Also, Remy Gard ripped his team after this game and basically said they didn't try hard enough in the second half, which is kind of like the lowest of the low, in my opinion, when a coach comes out and rips you. He also said Mateo Moncosu reminds him of Edison Cavani. So I
yeah.
What?
That's a take.
Yeah, that is a take.
They should sign Cavani. That'd be good.
Right?
Then you'd have two of them.
Torres in Montreal, any takers, any bites there? Any?
I mean, Montreal has a pretty good history with forwards who are, I'll say, in the twilight of their careers.
Marco de Valle. Some Didier Drogba guy.
Yeah. Look, their defensive issues are myriad and sundry, and I feel like they start at the top. And for as great as Piatti is, and we've been praising him up and down, and he deserves it, he does not defend at all at this point in his career. You're going to add Fernando Torres to that?
And on top,
you're going to make it so easy for teams to build from the back and just play right through you.
And on top of that, we talk about Remy Gard coming in and changing this club, and this is just the same old, like, find an old European dude to papier-mâché over the cracks.
Yeah.
So I don't really – I don't understand that connection.
A lot of people like papier-mâché.
Okay, Andrew.
I'm just saying. Let's talk Timbers. Two wins in a row at home. That's what they needed. New York City FC, we were all in love with them. They were one of the last two undefeated teams in the league, and then they get shellacked.
Yeah.
3-0.
Give us your take, Andrew. Give us your take on this as an Arsenal fan.
Oh.
A full kit Arsenal fan.
I don't wear the full kit.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Cameron wears a full kit.
Okay. Does he really?
He has a full kit Arsenal jersey.
My text,
socks and all.
When you posted that Instagram video, my text blew up. Like, what is Weeby doing?
I'm going to shout out
Dan Dickinson and Pablo Mar.
My younger brother gave it to him. Look, I mean, I want him to dream big. And, like, if he has a chance to win the Europa League at some point in his life, he'll look back on this moment and he'll say, this is destiny for me. This is how you exploit New York in some ways, I think, especially if you're the Timbers. You say, we don't want the ball. Have the ball. We're not going to give you easy avenues for chance creation. So you're just going to ping it around the pitch, and we're going to sit back, and we're going to wait. And we got Fernando Adi, and we have Sebastian Blanco, who's turned into an elite chance creator for himself again. And Diego Valeri. So we'll attack with three when the time is right, and we'll hit you on set pieces, which you struggle at, and we'll win the game 3-0. Merritt Paulson came out on Twitter and said, when I heard this game plan, I didn't like it. That's an interesting comment for an owner to make.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that like kind of blew my mind that he would come out and say, like,
after a win.
Well, he also said, hey, nothing not to like now, but when I heard it, I didn't like it.
Which makes you wonder how Caleb Porter is not still there.
It's interesting. I'm looking at the touch maps now. It's interesting. Like, this is Valeri shifted back into the role he played for the last year and a half. No, he was not a midfielder in this game. He was a second forward. His usage rate was really low. They did everything they could to get him in the box. He had 4 shots, which I believe is a season high.
And one that created the Adi goal.
Exactly. And I think that is... Portland have, like, they're a counterattacking team, and I think they got to embrace it. Like, they have not shown the ability to defend all parts of the pitch, but if they can defend like they did in this one when they were pretty good and compact, and then they go out and they sort of flow out into transition.
Into probably the best hold-up forward in the league.
Into and off of.
Yeah.
Right.
Arguably
exactly.
The best hold-up.
And then you've got two of the best playmakers in the league.
Valeri, like, everybody... I don't want to say everybody misunderstands, but, like, Valeri has a lot of gifts. His biggest one is that he is an accurate passer on the run. He's almost a better passer when he's running than when he's standing still. Like, we think about guys like Mauro Diaz, who is just, like, that sort of classic Valderrama type of,
right.
of midfield player.
Pull the ball back into a little pocket of space, chip it over.
Right.
But you're basically stationary. That's,
whereas Valeri is, like, you know, he's like Landon Donovan, and that Donovan's gift was he could connect passes on the run, and it's so hard to do. And when these guys do it, they're devastating, and that's what the Timbers did to New York. That's it.
I feel like we talked ourselves into Samuel Armenteros, who may still be a very good player, and just completely, like, forgot because of Fernando Adi's last calendar year of, like, not being productive and being perhaps a locker room cancer, how good this guy is. And, like, if they're going to be as good as they can be, he still needs to be the forward on this team.
Yep.
He just needs to be the forward with his mind right and healthy.
Yep.
And if he's that, they'll be fine because you play the ball into him, and nobody's getting to the ball. Like, when we talk to central defenders, we bring guys in here, and they're like, who's the hardest player for you to play against? And I think back particularly to Justin Gladden. He's like, dude, it's Fernando Adi. I can never even see the ball. He puts me on his hip, and I don't know what – I can't get around him. And if he turns me, he runs
away. He's fast, and that's the other thing, right? Like most guys like that, everything has to be at their feet. Everything has to be under them. He can get out and run and play alongside Valeri. And Blanco isn't the fastest player in the world, so he follows that up, which is what I like about what he does right now. It's like he reads the play, follows it up, and gets himself in the spot to be for the second ball or if it
He just hangs out
through.
In the wake. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, we got the wake going through here. I'm just going
like
to give
it's like the fish that floats under the shark back
dude.
On it or the whales, whatever, and just picks off it, and it works for them.
I don't know what that animal is. I don't even want to guess right now. Big win for the Timbers. Patrick Vieira to Arsenal, as we said. Ben Bear's got some takes on that in the mailbag. That's coming up. Aussie's back, baby. That's what Chad Marshall yelled out in the Sounders locker room after a 3-1 win for the Sounders. That's their first win in the league for 2018. Clint Dempsey was a super sub in this game. It worked out. The first half was good. The second half was not as good. Christian Ramirez got a goal in this match, and Minnesota tried as they might, but they could not get another goal. They had a lot of opportunities.
They're getting pretty good at playing from behind, though.
Yeah, well, you play from behind all the time.
Smart.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
10,000-hour rule, baby.
Right.
I mean, look, we got to – look, respect to the Loons because they're going to make history perhaps this year.
Yeah.
They're going to set
second
a record.
Second year in a row.
Yeah, and they're going to give up 73 goals maybe, and that'll be the most ever.
Yeah, that's what they're on.
The back line is still – the back line, the organization, the limiting of chances, it's not particularly limiting.
No.
Well, it's limiting in terms of playoff hopes.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
more of the same.
There's nothing, there's nothing really that
there's
significant
nothing to add.
Yeah.
Or break down on this one.
Yeah.
The defense has been bad since the first game they've played. It's never improved. The individuals or the unit or the structure, the way it's built. And then
I will say this. They had a moment there where Sam Cronin was running midfield where I thought it improved. But Sam Cronin's hurt, and it looks like he's maybe not coming back. Ibsen and Rasmus Schuler in 2018 MLS.
Mystery box.
I don't know. I keep getting a lot of messages saying Rasmus Schuler is an elite defensive midfielder in this league.
I have seen things that say that, and
I
have disagreed
what?
With them.
The stats love him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the stats love Ibsen, too.
Yeah.
The there stats love Ibsen,
except
too.
For the one where it's goal differential.
Correct.
And points.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Is Clint Dempsey destined to be a super sub
this year? He should
Props
be.
Props to Brian Schmetzer because he was like, look, Dempsey's grumpy about it, but this is for the greater good.
Yeah. Well, it's, that's the way it should be because he's not an influential player in all aspects of the game the way that he used to be, and he doesn't do the sort of unselfish running that led to the first two goals for Seattle. If you look at Christian Roldan, who was playing in that role, and Roldan's not really a goal scorer and he's not really a creator.
Those are like the two words that define Christian Roldan, unselfish and running.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not – great on the ball, and he doesn't have extraordinary vision, but he's so good off the ball, he ends up opening up a ton of space for a team that really has had a lot of the ball over the last couple of years. And I think that might be the better look. Now, everything has to be caveated.
What about Dempsey instead of Bruin?
Dempsey's not a number nine. He never has been.
But what if this is a team where you've got Roldan covering space, you've got Lodero covering space, where there isn't really a true number nine? And things are moving, and there isn't really a way for defenses to be set against that. You've got Roldan making deep runs. You've got Lodero making deep runs as Dempsey pulls out wide and tries to pull a center back away.
I understand what you're saying. Like in certain approaches, that will work. In certain scenarios, that will work. But if you look at the Sounders over the past year plus now, they've been a much better team when Will Brown's on the field. They've been a much better team because he does give them that fulcrum. He does give them that target forward, playing up against or through the opposing back line in a way that Dempsey doesn't.
Taylor Twellman said that Minnesota turned down $1.5 million from a Liga MX team last summer for Christian Ramirez. Should they have taken that?
Yeah. If they it's clear that I think Adrian Heath has never really rated him all that highly. He likes Abu Dhanladi's work rate a little bit more, and he's tried every season, well, just about once a month, he's tried to make Dhanladi the starter over Christian Ramirez, even though Christian Ramirez has been, a significantly better player. And if that's the way you're going to approach it, why not sell him and get the cash infusion?
Didn't do it, though. didn't do it. 14 goals last year for Christian Ramirez. A goal in this one. A loss for Minnesota United. The Whitecaps melted down in Kansas City on Friday night. Kansas City then recast them into a 6-goal win. 6-0. This thing got really ugly. It might have been 9-0 if not for some, different breaks for the Caps. What did we make of, as I called it on Instant Replay, anatomy of a brawl? 2 red cards. Efren Juarez gets one for hands to the face. Jordy Reyna gets one for, choke body slamming.
We would have to get First Shot, because First Shot used to cover wrestling. So we should call Nick
and get his
take on it. It's just so
silly. There's video assistant referee now. They're going to look at all this. So yeah. just don't do dumb stuff. If you're going to come in there and scuffle, just do a lot of pushing and shoving.
I thought.
If you do some pushing and shoving from, I'm going to say nipples down, waist to nipples, you're good. Because you go above the nipples, you might get the neck, and then you might be off.
Again, I don't think there needs to be more said than that. That's it.
I think Weeby's getting very professional analysis.
Oh, I'm just – hey, look, you got to tell them what they can do, okay? You can't do the other stuff. Johnny Russell then roasted them.
Yeah, 3 goals.
Like a pig on a spit,
3
man.
Goals, drew 2 red cards.
Skin was crackling.
Drew a penalty as well. Mm-hmm. He's been good.
He has been good.
Do we think that – Sporting Kansas City's attack is going to keep being really good?
I wouldn't say I'm doubtful, but I do not believe that it will continue to be this good. Now, 6-0 against 9 men, that's an outlier, of course. Felipe Gutierrez, I think his goal scoring to start, that's probably an outlier for the course of the whole season. Johnny Russell's 3 goals in this game, that's an outlier. Skinning up LA's back line, that's pretty normal, but you don't get to play LA Galaxy every single game.
Okay, here's their schedule so far. Because they didn't score in the first game.
Oh, they're going to be mad at you.
Chicago Fire.
Soft.
San Jose.
Soft.
Colorado.
Soft.
DC United.
Soft.
They only scored 1. LA Galaxy.
Soft.
Seattle Sounders.
They were
softish.
Softish.
And now.
Seattle without Ozzy is soft. Yeah.
And now 9-man Vancouver.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Kansas City fans are going to be so mad at you.
They're livid.
They were so mad at me on Friday night on Twitter.
Because they're hitting everybody, I'm saying.
And, I don't understand why they get so angry, because I don't troll. I just try to explain.
You're very reasonable and respectful.
Yes, why things are as they are.
And my brother is going to get himself a Johnny Russell jersey. He says he's all in on the Scotsman right now.
How do you feel about the Kansas City defense? Getting a little more comfortable with it or no?
I've always been fairly comfortable, because I don't think they're going to be a train wreck.
Are they going to be as good as they were last year?
No. I don't think that's going to be the case, but that's okay. They don't need to be as good as they were last year if they're better on the wings and Felipe continues to be, let's say, 50%, 35% even of the production he had. And then in the summer you go get a 9. Go get a good – don't go get a Fernando Torres. Go get a guy who can be there for 3 years. Who can bring you into the next generation.
I don't know that I agree about that. And not saying I disagree. If you can go get a great younger player.
For sure.
But my thing is, if you get the right forward at whatever age, you could challenge for MLS Cup this year.
Okay, fine. I agree with that, because they've talked about it for so long and haven't done it, that at some point, just go get it done.
Yeah.
Yep. Sporting Kansas City, 6-0 winners. Speaking of meltdowns, the Rapids melted down. I think they could have had 3 red cards in this game. Tim Howard did get one for making a save outside of his penalty area. Not the best plan from Tim Howard. And then RSL, though they didn't look very good, to be honest with you, trot out 3-0.
Yep.
Hey, they're winning at home.
Did it feel like a rivalry game to you?
No, not really. But I think, a red card 20-something minutes in usually takes the fire out, so to speak.
Yeah. I don't know, man. The whole thing... to continue your metaphor, the whole way the game was played, it left me a little bit cold. I'm not sure either. I don't know. Neither team. What am I trying to say here?
I think what you're saying.
What you're trying to say is there was 4 games going on at the same time, and I watched the other 3.
Right.
That's what I felt about this game.
I think what you would also say about this, do you expect RSL to go beat a good team in this league right now?
No.
Colorado Rapids. You've got Tommy Smith on the ground, sweeping the ball with his arm. You've got, late in the game, Boateng trying his best to get sent off and somehow not getting sent off or stomping on an Achilles. You have 2 teams that have their own issues, and the red card obscured those for RSL, and they magnified them for the Rapids. That's it. 3-0 win for RSL. They're above the playoff line. good for them. Still got to prove it. The Fire got to win at Red Bull Arena, though. Mm-hmm. Alexander Katai, who we've kind of, you know, we haven't been completely kind to all the time because his performances haven't been great. Scores a worldie. Richard Sanchez, kind of same boat. Haven't, you know, really been impressed. He had a great game. And Red Bulls didn't have intensity. Jesse Marsh roasted them after this one. BWP scores, which he does, but you lose 2-1 at Red Bull Arena, and all that shine from the early season CCL run, from Ben Mines scoring goals, from the Kaku money being spent, it's not as shiny.
It's not as shiny, but, I mean, Richard Sanchez had himself a day.
He did.
He really did. Like, Katai's goal is going to get all the glory, and it should, because that was
healthy.
Yeah, it was so good.
One time off the drop.
That high?
Yeah. And Katai had a really good all-around game, and I think part of that was having Mo Adams in place of Tony Chani behind him, and like Dap to the even though he went to Syracuse,
another high draft pick.
Yeah, Dap to the rookie. Fire started 3 rookies in this one. Collier started up top, Grant Lillard in the back, so that was nice to see as well. But like Richard Sanchez, like 9 saves, like probably deserved the shutout. Was let down a little bit by his team at the end right there. This was the performance I think he needed, because he has been bad to start the season.
It's one that Chicago needed as well. 2 wins now on the season for them. Orlando City, they were our kind of like, I don't know, we heaped the pressure on them. They heaped the pressure on themselves throughout the whole beginning of the season. 3 straight games, no wins, all that money spent, now 4 games, all wins. 3-2 against San Jose. San Jose is not very good, but you got to win the games you play. Dom Dwyer, I think, looks back to
he's the
Dom Dwyer that was really, really good and impossible
reason.
To deal with.
Yeah,
because last year he wasn't that.
He
this
pulls
year he is
defenses
that.
Around, and he understands so well how to create channels for his team to play through.
Yep.
And so he pulls the 2 center backs to create a channel for through balls. And right now Mueller's understanding how he's playing, and Mueller's just being aggressive. You're going to be in one-on-one situations. Make guys foul you. Make guys stop you. And he's attacking. Obviously, Shea Salinas had no idea what he was doing defensively on the first goal.
It was like a minute in, and Cash Mueller's out here just
put
the sonic rings on that.
He doesn't celebrate goals well because he gets so excited that he throws like 3 celebrations.
Right,
he's
right,
hitting
right.
every button on the controller. And you're like, all right, dude, I feel it. Because if I just graduated college and I was scoring in front of that crowd,
that's a good goal.
I'm into
that's
it.
Where
goal.
Did he even go to college?
I think it's a Pac-12 school.
It's not even
like
not
that,
even
yeah.
worth mentioning, to be honest with you. Not even worth it.
I want to point this out. And this league spent $15 million. Well, the team spent $15 million on Barco, $6 million on Kaku, however much they spent on Jesus Medina. I don't think I saw a number for that. Diego Rossi.
Couple million at least.
These are all guys 19 to 21.
Josue Coleman,
19 to 21, 22 years old. Chris Mueller's been as good as all of them, as any of them. I mean, maybe he doesn't have
not
the box score stats that Rossi does. Medina has been good.
In terms of influencing the game.
I think Mueller's been right up there.
Really?
You look at the way he always takes his first touch and is always driving defenders back. That's significant. It's a small thing, but it's significant. And he's finishing plays off now. By the way,
it didn't cost millions of dollars.
That's the point. That's the point. Every year, there's talent in the draft. Every year, there's talent coming out of college. And I know it's not the way that everybody wants it to be. Everybody wants it to be the next Tyler Adams coming through, or the next, hopefully, Andrew Carlton coming through. And hopefully we get a lot more of that. But there's always going to be players who are overlooked by these academies and who develop at that stage. And Chris Mueller, at 21 years old, looks the part. Good coaches find these guys. Good coaches develop these guys. Good coaches play these guys and win with these guys.
Big red flag here for San Jose, or excuse me, for Orlando.
Well,
also for San Jose. The 2 goals game from Florian Youngwith came on basically the same set play.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
A corner kick. It's like the same set play, and you got beat on both of them.
Defensively, there's nothing's changed for Orlando. It's, one, San Jose aren't very good. I don't know how to word that well.
Michael Starr is on the sideline, like scribbling in his notebook,
it
talking
really
to his assistants,
matter.
And like, and all.
I mean, Danny Hosen's completely disconnected from the rest of the team. Sometimes Erickson gets the ball and you get excited, then nothing really happens. Defensively, I don't think anyone on that team trusts what's behind them, which is always an issue with the way you're going to play, which is what Orlando had to start the year. Now I think these guys just don't really care.
Justin Miram missed a PK in this one.
Yeah,
he's still feeling a little bit
just
off there in Orlando.
I thought he was good when he came on.
Yeah,
though.
I thought
like,
he was too.
He's, and like
the
this
through
is,
ball to Dom was great.
We talk about competition for spots being meaningful. Like how do you approach that? And we'll see how Clint Dempsey approaches it. We see like it. Chris Mueller and Stefano Pena winning those starting jobs seems to have lit a spark under Justin Meram and hopefully Josue Coleman.
Can I ask you guys if you remember what the win for the San Jose Earthquakes is? They're one of five teams with one win
so Minnesota.
Far.
Yeah, they beat Minnesota opening weekend when they had a 3-0 lead and then let up two soft goals.
They had the most impressive attack in the league.
Yeah, according to somebody.
Then they lose 3-2 to Sporting. Then they lose to New York City. Then they draw Philly. Then they draw Houston. Now they've lost to Orlando.
Yeah.
There's a reason we got people in our mentions saying, I give up. We're just as bad as as we were.
I think they
all
have
my hope
to,
is gone.
They have to move Youngworth back to center back because he has not been good at defensive midfield. He just hasn't. And he is not, like, that back line needs somebody to organize.
Sam Stachel coming up here in a second. Gam Tam and Sam. I'm going to talk Dallas with him. Transfer window. It's about to slam shut before the summer. U.S. national team GM rumblings. I get a CCL prediction before we talk about that big game. I'm going to give you an option here. Well, sorry, go ahead.
I just want to throw in my weekly Yoshi Otun is so good.
He is.
And he's so much fun to watch.
He is.
I don't know if he only has one foot, but he's really good with it.
Yep.
And it's gorgeous.
I'm going to give you options here. You could talk about either Toronto FC being bottom of the table, bottom MLS, what it means for 2018, and was it petty for Houston to refuse to move the match on the weekend, which they won 5-1. Bobby's not here, so somebody could tell me why the Union are good and unlucky, or you could just tell me why they're bad. And, you could talk about the 2-2 draw. Chris C and the Rebs. What do you want? Any preferences here?
First,
how do you feel?
Toronto bottom of the table means nothing. It means absolutely nothing for the significance of the season. They're going to come back. Whatever happens on Wednesday, they're going to come back. It might take them another week to get over either the joy or the pain of losing a CCL final, and then they're going to be one of the three best teams in the league again. So this meant absolutely nothing. The only thing of significance to maybe take away from this game is that Albert Elise finally got himself another goal, because he has been leaving goals on the table every single week. Well, he got himself an ugly goal in this one, and it could be the floodgates finally open moment. And if that happens, get Albert Elise for your fantasy team, because he has been a freaking monster through 2 months of this season.
Was it petty for Houston to refuse to move this match?
Nope.
I'll answer that. Good job, Dynamo.
Good job, Dynamo.
Take
100%.
Dub, get that 5-1. Get Romo Kyoto.
Do you want to play the best MLS team of all time, or
no.
Do you want to play a USL team?
Good Lord. It's not even a question. Sorry, Toronto. They've lost three away games, I should say. They are 1-1 at home, so they'll be fun. What do you want?
I will take New England and Columbus Currency. But
sorry,
can I do it by
Union.
Asking Doyle a question?
Sure.
Juan Agudelo on the wing has driven you nuts.
Yep.
Teal Bunbury at center forward. How do you feel right now?
I mean, Teal, like, that finish was fantastic from Teal. And
no angle on that thing.
No angle. His defensive work rate has been huge, which is why I think he won the job.
It has been from day one. Wing, up top, like, they taught him that in Kansas City when he got there. He just didn't finish the chances they needed to finish, and CJ Sapong was good enough to move into that role, so they did it.
Yep.
And so they moved him. He was a good asset to be moved. They moved him. But he's always worked.
Yeah.
It's just been the final product he's been missing.
Yeah.
I'm super
pumped
for
him. He's got three goals in his last three games, or 3-4, something like that. I still prefer Agudelo as a center forward.
This is the guy we were talking about, national team, still 7 months ago at center forward. And now he's out on the left wing behind Teal Bunbury.
I think there are changes. By the way, it's the last week before the trade deadline closes for now. I still think there's something afoot in New England.
Can we talk,
trades.
Though, about Juan's assist to Pena?
Pass of the week.
Just taking it off, juggling it around, putting it on the
money.
He
also almost scored the goal of the year. He sombreroed Mensa, who, by the way, is an awful defender still. Andrew Ruby. And then almost volleyed it into the top
corner.
But
that's how you know defenders are bad, because I picked them for defenders.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that probably is a death toll.
The death kiss.
Yeah, Union are not good, and they are maybe unlucky, but they're looking pretty bad right now. They lost to FC Dallas this week. The last unbeaten team in MLS is FC Dallas, and look, we're not trying to give them short shrift here. Sam Stachel's got some takes, and he's coming up after the break. Gam, Tam, and Sam, we'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Time for Sam Stachel.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. Gam, Tam, and Sam coming up in just 1 second, as well as your CCL second leg final preview. Can Toronto FC overturn that 2-1 deficit they have to Chivas Guadalajara? They go down to Guadalajara on Wednesday. Let's talk to Sam Stachko, though. You heard the music. Sam, what's up?
Not too much, guys. How's it going today?
It's good. What's up with Lyle? What's he up to right now?
Lyle is currently he's currently outside. He's getting walked. I'm not doing the walking, obviously. Kind of bummed about that, actually. I like walking Lyle. Kind of upset.
Oh, big money Sam. Not out there. Dog walkers.
But, you know, I mean, for you guys, I'll skip the walk.
Spending your TAM on dog walking. Good choice, guys.
I just wanted to make it clear.
My wife is walking the dog.
That
we're not spending money on that.
We prefer Lyle to you.
You should prefer Lyle to me. Okay. Lyle's the man. Like, I prefer Lyle to all of you. It's fine.
All right.
That's cool.
Okay.
Let's talk FC Dallas, because they're the last unbeaten team in Major League Soccer.
Wait, but we had a dog-related email that I was going to throw in here.
We'll get it at the start.
Well, yeah. That's just for Sam. Someone said that our shows have been extra long lately, and so when he listens to our show, he walks his dog, and he doesn't stop until the show's over.
Oh, that's
so
a lucky dog.
They've been putting like 4 miles in. Dog's in great shape. Guy's in great shape. We got a picture of the dog. I thought Sam would be happy about
that. There's a new strategy to listening to Extra Time Radio, which is exercise for the entirety of it, and you're going to be cut in like 2 months.
Just throw in an extra burpee or crunch
every
time
Doyle says
one of his classic comments.
Or if he pauses for like a second and a half, like tries to get his thoughts together. And
pregnant
rolls
pause.
With it. Yes. Yeah. FC Dallas, none of us can tell if they're any good. We do know they're unbeaten. Yeah, unbeaten.
Yeah, 3-on-3.
Yeah, they're unbeaten. Yeah.
Sam, what do you make of this team?
I'm kind of in a similar boat in terms of I don't really know if they're any good or not. But one thing I've really liked over the past, I guess just this past week, is how Mauro Diaz and Maxi Arruti have responded to coming off the bench. That's exactly what you want to see when your star players, when your big players aren't necessarily playing well and the coach moves them to a reserve role. That's exactly what you want to see in terms of a response. They came in and they changed the game against Philadelphia on Saturday, both scored a goal. I thought Diaz was really good. I thought he was pretty active. I think Arruti is kind of understanding a little bit more what he needs to do. Maybe he's never going to be the elite finisher that maybe they want him to be. But I think they can do some interesting things there with Coleman up top, with Diaz in the lineup, and with Arruti maybe coming off the bench or maybe drifting into that space a little bit more, flanking out wide. Doyle, I know you've written about that a little bit, but really interesting team to me. I really, really like Ja'Cory Hayes.
Yeah,
too.
I was about to go there. Sam, hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Kellen Acosta's going to have to fight to win his job back, isn't he?
What about Carlos Grezo?
Right.
Like, you know, he looks like he doesn't have a job right now.
Yep.
With Victor Ulloa in there. So I think that's exactly what you want if you're Oscar Pereja, and that's exactly what you want if you have a young team with a bunch of guys trying to make their name. You want that competition, right? Because I think Acosta, he kind of suffered maybe a little bit from not having that last year as he kind of faded down the stretch. And I think Ja'Cory Hayes, I mean, he covers a ton of ground. He had some athleticism there in the middle. He's pretty clean in passing. He pops up in dangerous spots, and he's really disciplined with his shape. So I really like what he's doing, and I'm glad to see it. I actually saw him play in college a couple years back at Wake Forest, and I think there were like 6 or 7 current MLS guys on the field in this game. Jordan Morris, Brandon Vincent, Ian Harks, Han Baquero, probably a few others that I'm forgetting. But Hayes was by far the best player in that game, and I've been waiting for him to kind of break out, and I'm excited that he's doing it this year.
FC Dallas, probably not one of those teams we're looking at. They're going to be active in this transfer window, but some could be. We talked about Fernando Torres on this show. Montreal, Chicago seem to be interested in him. Of course, Lee Wynn could get traded. Anything could happen, Sam? Will anything happen?
I'm sure there will be a move or two here or there. I don't anticipate that anything huge will happen. Now, there are a couple of teams that could go out and get a big signing done before May 1st. I think Seattle are in that market. Chicago certainly need to add. I don't anticipate that they'll add before May 1st. And then you have the trade market, which will probably be pretty slow. Paul Tenorio's written about this, but a few reasons for that. Basically, no one has any international slots, so you can't take on any international players unless you're giving one up. And because no one has any international slots, guys with green cards or Americans or Canadians are extra valuable. You don't want to give them up if they're producing, if they're contributing. So their trade value is kind of it's really high. So the price is really high for those guys. So I don't anticipate anything crazy happening here in the next 8-9 days. But if we do see a trade or two, I would imagine it'll be kind of for lower end of the roster guys. We saw Jared Watts go from Colorado to Houston earlier this season. I would imagine if we do see some trades, which, you know, maybe one or two will go down, it would probably be moves somewhat along those lines.
Filling some holes. Speaking of a hole that I guess it hasn't been filled ever, the U.S. National Team GM job is still open. Still no real news on that front. Still no idea what the job is or who really wants it, Sam.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've obviously interviewed a few people. I reported a while back about Ernie Stewart and Ollie Curtis interviewing for the job, and we talked about that on a previous show. But, the general perception out there among people that I've been talking to is that there's just not enough power in this job, and that no one really wants to take it because of that. You're going to hire the next national team head coach, which is obviously a huge responsibility, but you're not going to have the juice to really overhaul youth development or the youth structure. You're not going to get to hire or fire youth national team coaches. It sounds like it's kind of going to be hiring and firing the head coach and kind of managing. I don't want to minimize it, but sort of managing budgets with the national team. So that's not a role that a lot of people are finding really attractive. And that's kind of narrowing the potential pool for U.S. soccer from what I understand. So, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because on the surface, this looks like a really cool job. It's not really being viewed like that in practice, and that's kind of leading to a longer hiring process. So that's not really helping U.S. soccer either, right? Because this is the kind of time of year when you want to be kind of laying the groundwork for that next head coach. And I know they want to wait until after the World Cup to make that hire, and I think that's the right move. But, you know, those national team head coaches that are going to Russia, their contracts are going to be up after the tournament in a lot of cases. You're going to be kind of wanting to lay that groundwork now. If you're going to look for a club coach maybe in Europe to come here and be the national team head coach, those seasons are ending. So you kind of want to be laying the groundwork for those conversations now, and not having a GM in place, you obviously can't do that. So it's going to make that coaching search, the longer this search goes, it's going to make that coaching search for the eventual GM a little bit harder, I think.
Do you also have a cat in the house?
That was a fire truck.
Gotcha.
In Chicago, they're still hand-run sirens.
Yeah, that sounded like an old-timey, you know, like bomb siren. Yeah. I was like, what's happening there?
Sam lives in an Al Capone movie. That's what I was going to say.
The city has a long relationship with fire as the local soccer team.
Fire. Last one here for you. We're going to talk CCL right now. What's your prediction, Sam? TFC win this thing?
TFC, it's going to be 2-1, Toronto FC, and they're going to lose in penalties.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
Gam Tam and Sam at Sam Stashkel on Twitter, national writer for MLSsoccer.com.
Like angel of death there.
I know, man.
Jeez,
well, the bomb sirens are going off. So
we're not going to have you back.
It's the most painful outcome possible.
We're not going to have you back next week unless Lyle's with you, just so you know. Okay.
That's fair. I'll make sure. Maybe we can do a video interview for the video podcast that you guys do.
Strike a hard deal, but I'm down with it. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. All right, cool. Talk to you guys.
Big thanks to Sam Stashkel and Lyle in different orders here. 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, CCL Final Leg 2 in Guadalajara at Estadio Akron. Chivas, Guadalajara, 2-1 win on the road. 2 away goals at Toronto FC. Toronto must reverse it. Must prevent more free space.
Sorry, before we jump in there, I just wanted to shout out Eric and Lexi, the rat terrier from Slidell, Louisiana. I didn't get their names, but now I got their names.
Yeah, so
Lexi, I think, is the dog, and Eric is the owner.
Yeah. Eric is a weird dog name. Would be a weird dog name.
Potentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Toronto FC got to get this thing done. Otherwise, it's more of the same for us and everyone else in Toronto and Major League Soccer. And, you know, it's like a legacy thing for them. I feel better about leg two than I did leg one. I kind of had that like sinking pit of doubt that accompanies every single CCL tie for me, that like until you are in leading position, you're destined to fail. And now that they're behind, maybe they're destined to, I don't know.
You're really talking yourself. Lost 2-1 at home.
I'm trying to.
They lost 2-1 at home. It was.
So here's a thought. Maybe I unintentionally spared myself heartbreak and pain and suffering.
It was a subconscious defense mechanism.
By booking this flight in which I can't even watch the game.
Potentially.
Right.
And I've done the reverse, which was sticking 1,000 Band-Aids on me and slowly pulling each one off individually by being there in person.
This is, you know,
they avoided
yellow cards
okay,
in the first leg.
Here's the thing.
So they don't have the suspensions.
If there's ever an MLS team that's going to accomplish this in this way, it's this one.
Which is what we said before the first leg. I just want to establish that.
But there's no doubt in that TFC locker room that they believe they're going to go down there and win.
So here's the thing. You got to win 2-0 or you got to win 3-1 or better. 2-1
gets you to PKs.
Yeah, it gets you a stalemate. And keeps you alive. Very possible that they could win 2-1. Very possible that they could win 2-0. Possible, perhaps, that they could win 3-1. I would argue not likely, given Chivas' ability in 1v1 defending and their organization. And, yeah, I mean, you gave me the eye roll.
I just gave you an eye roll because I think this is a really bad Chivas team. But I don't think they'll be crazy about anything. They'll put 11 players behind the ball. It's tough to score 3 goals against 11 players. Unless you get up 2-0 and then they have to go for it. Just changes it a little bit. Also, this TFC team, because they've had injuries, isn't as deep as they have ever been. And so they don't have a ton of bullets to bring off the bench if they get tired as this game drags along.
I would be shocked if Victor Vasquez played a role in this game. But maybe he says, you know what, throw caution to the wind, put me on the bench. I'll gut through it if I have to. But I don't. Having a player gut through an injury that's kept them out for the better part of a month is not a – if that's your, like – bullet in the chamber, then you're in trouble.
Mavinga, Morrow, and Haglund. Well, I mean, Haglund we know is out, but Mavinga and Morrow did not look fully fit when they got on the field in the first leg either. It's tough. This is – if they manage to come back and win this, even though I agree with David that this is a bad Chivas team, it would be – I mean, it would be epic. It would be one for the ages.
Let's just play this and then we'll go to the mailbag. What would a loss, not in this game, but a series loss, what would the long-term legacy of that be? Within this competition, within the rivalry between the two leagues?
Just more reinforcement that it's one rung of the ladder at a time. Well, even if Toronto lose, which they're probably going to,
The series.
They still beat Tigres. They still beat Club America. They're the first team ever to beat two Liga MX teams in the same competition. They beat the two that they did beat are, for my money, the two best teams in Mexico recently and all time.
Both second legs in Mexico.
Both first and both counts on that.
Yeah.
To advance, yeah.
And then you combine that with the Red Bulls becoming the first team ever to win both legs of a series, which they did against Cholos. Red Bulls utterly dominating Chivas in that second leg, 20-1 in shots, which we've never seen before. Like, this has been a step forward, but there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And what I think Toronto has shown is the type of investment it's going to take for MLS as a whole to catch up to Liga MX. And what a loss will show is that even with all that investment, not quite there yet.
What about a win? What would a win mean, Dave? I'll let you take this one since...
Oh, it means David is chugging Crown Royal down in Estadio Akron.
The only bottle I can possibly find of it in the whole country. It would be huge. It would mean that we had a conversation here where someone was like, it doesn't mean something for the whole league. Was it you? Because Toronto are so good and individually. But it means that crowning achievement won for this project. Because, like, as a fan of this league, you've watched TFC be built over the last 4 years, and this is now the pinnacle of it, of this is the best team we've ever seen. We already are saying that, but you have the complete and utter proof of it at the end of that moment. To do it against Tigres and then Club America and then to finish it off at Chivas would be as impressive a run as there's ever been. It would put it in the history books as one of the most exciting two-month periods in MLS history.
I think it would be probably the best CCL of all time.
Well,
the tournament. Top to bottom, the tournament, the knockout round.
The knockout rounds have been fantastic.
I would say that if, regardless, it may already be there.
Yeah.
But certainly from an MLS perspective, but maybe from a tournament perspective, because what this tournament has lacked has been dichotomy.
Yeah.
It's been so, like, one side take all that it's sucked away some of the drama, some of the interest, some of the ability to really build this and make it big, because to truly be big, it's got to be big. A, in Mexico and the U.S.,
but Canada.
It hasn't really been.
Canada.
Yeah, because it's been – dang it. Bobby Warshaw syndrome right there. because it's been kind of an afterthought in both. It really has been. We love it.
Yep.
But come on, it's not.
And
some,
if
it's
if,
not
it gets, if that gets capped off with an MLS team going down to Mexico and coming from behind in the second leg to win the CCL, you're right, Andrew. This would, I mean,
yeah. From an entertainment perspective, from a drama perspective, from a storyline perspective, from a quality perspective,
also,
top to bottom.
We have to mention the Jozy Altidore, Michael Bradley legacy stuff that it goes on to. Javinko's already probably accomplished everything he came here to do, but this would be one more step. And then you kind of throw in at the end of the conversation, like, this team could go to Club World Cup.
Yep.
Yeah.
They could play against Real Madrid.
I mean, but that was Javinko's goal.
They'll probably play against Roma, which I'm excited about. But,
dude, yeah,
but
I would love it if Roma won.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
But this was Javinko's whole plan all along. He was at Juve. He was like, at Juve, I'll never get to the Club World Cup. So I have to go to North America.
I
have
to go
to Toronto FC.
I love it. I wish I had come up with that.
And that's how I do this. Now, to go back, Dave, you said that I said it wouldn't be a bigger commentary on MLS. I still stand by that. But I do think that what it would do is open that door for the rest of the league to kind of see the path. To say, like, this is what it takes.
See,
if we can do it, we can do it. We may not be at the same level yet, but we're building to that point. And when we enter next year, let's be the Red Bulls, except let's not biff it second leg at Guadalajara.
But if you look at it on its face, you can – yes, what you're saying. But it's this benchmark of, well, if we become better than TFC, then we can do this. Because in the league,
not even better than TFC.
But,
I just,
but in the league,
if the dice roll is different, like
I think MLS teams have already thought that if the dice roll is different,
yeah.
If guys were fit,
or maybe
here,
Santos Laguna this year.
Yeah, if guys were fit here, if we didn't bring Nico Lodero in the summer, but we brought him in the winter and he had played in that series, whatever stuff like that for the last 8 to 10 years. But if you beat TFC in MLS, which is what your job is right now, your job is to win MLS Cup. You've now beaten a team that went and beat Club America and Tigres on the road. So in that...
But it's not transitive.
Okay, but a lot of it's confidence and a lot of it's mentality, a lot of it's belief, and I think all of that happens now from an MLS side, which is we don't have to go down to Mexico and prove we can do it there, because if we can do it against TFC, we can do it against the best teams in this
region. I don't buy that logic, because you still got to go to Mexico and do it, and nobody has. And people have gone to Toronto and won. They were great at home last year, but Red Bulls felt like they should have won that series. I just look at
but
this
But then
tournament.
Red Bulls went and beat Tijuana.
They did.
And they beat them in the same way. They played ugly. They got it. I mean, they didn't get the finishes
Tijuana's
in the playoffs.
Tijuana's not Tigres. Tijuana's...
But you got to get there.
I agree. They just came up short. But I look at, like, FC Dallas, and I'm like, okay, well, FC Dallas lost to Tauro.
Yeah.
So, like, there are steps forward and there are steps back.
Yeah.
Prediction time? Happy, sad?
Oh, I predict pain.
I'm in. I'm all in.
On pain?
No.
I was going
to
say, because I'm all in on pain, too.
I'm ready to go.
I'm like, I'm ready for it.
They're going to win 3-1.
I revel in free space.
Jozy gets one early.
Yep.
They control play for a while. Chivas starts to get a couple looks. Boom. TFC gets a goal, counterattack. Javinko
Jozy.
Just
before the half?
Yeah.
Okay.
You go in 2-0. The whole crowd turns on them. Everyone panics. Everyone freaks out. At some point, the game opens up. You get two more goals, one either way. TFC lift the trophy.
We're ending it there. That's it. 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Toronto FC goes to Guadalajara to Estadio Akron trying to overturn a 2-1 deficit. Two road goals. They got to win 2-0 or they got to win by multiple goals. We'll see if they can do it. You can watch it on Univision Deportes. You can watch it on TSN in Canada. You can watch it on Go90 if you want to stream it as well here in the U.S. We'll see. We'll see on Thursday. We're going to go to break. On the other side, the mailbag with Ben Bear.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Help me, cause my eyes are slipping, I'm losing faith. Would you hold on to me?
Back now at Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental, our least favorite time of the week. Ben Bear is here.
following up Sam with Ben is just brutal. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
That's one way to really introduce someone.
I was just
that's really
with
nice, Weeby.
Yeah, that was right off the top. I just
this is classic DJ envy of Weeby right now.
I don't know anything about that. What's that mean?
Yeah.
What's that reference?
I'll show it to you.
Okay. Weeby is DJ envy in this situation, obviously.
Okay.
So.
So we teased this. We didn't talk about this. We were waiting for you. Patrick Vieira is, you know, the bookmakers do as they will in
the
England. Yeah, whatever. and they make odds about a lot of different things. And now they're saying that Patrick Vieira is odds-on favorite to be the head coach of Arsenal.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Arsene Wenger gave him his recommendation. So it was Wenger out.
I thought maybe Wee Wee would just start singing with me if I did it.
No, my heart started beating faster, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little flutter.
You're right.
Let me pose a question to Ben.
Okay.
Why would you want to leave a position?
Hold
with
on. We didn't even get his take.
We have the tweet. We got
right,
so
here's the tweet that set the group chat aflame.
Mm-hmm. Not just the group chat.
Mm,
yes.
False.
If you're Patrick Vieira, Ben tweets, why would you want the Arsenal job? You live in New York. You get to compete for titles with one of the highest payrolls in the league and have little to no pressure on you. Also, let's be real. That job will be open again in a year or two.
So I think the real...
There's a follow-up tweet to
the
that.
Real, no, the real hot take there is saying that he has a job where there's little to no pressure on him with NYCFC. He's expected to compete at the top of the league and compete for multiple titles every year. Whereas if he goes to this, frankly, small club, this mid-table club that has no chance of even finishing in the top four or five in their backwater league, it seems to me like that would be less pressure.
I could have
am I wrong?
I could have bet you money Doyle's troll direction was going to be in the saying New York is better than London.
Yeah.
I thought that's where Doyle
that's
was
where I thought
go.
I was going. But I realized about halfway through his initial statement that it was going the way that it went.
Wait, look, what are you saying? I'm not trolling. I'm asking a legitimate question.
The little thing, I mean,
I only watch Champions League, so I actually don't know who this Arsenal
who
team
Arsenal
are.
Yeah. Obviously, there is some pressure with this job, considering what happened with Jason Kreis.
Mm-hmm.
I think I stand by the tweet, first of all, and I had a follow-up tweet saying, you never want to be the guy who follows the legend. You want to be the guy who follows that guy, you know, the David Moyes conundrum.
Yeah, at BenBear89, in case you need more of this
I would
directly
say,
to your phone.
I completely stand by the tweet. I would say I didn't put it out in a way that I was actually thinking about. I would have reframed it a little bit. To me, like, everyone's saying if...
They're saying if he gets offered the
job,
he'd be crazy not to take it.
Which I just completely disagree with that opinion. That's the opinion I disagree with. I think it's you don't automatically say yes just because it's Arsenal, who, you know, have the seventh highest payroll in EPL, I think, and are expected to compete for titles, even though they can't because they...
Which titles are they expected
exactly,
to compete for?
Exactly, so... Look, and I think a lot of it is also, look, the dude's really competitive. He was one of the most competitive players, you know.
But everybody's competitive.
Everybody, that whole thing is completely ridiculous. Anyway, every human being is competitive. Just because I think he spent 2.5 years doing something, right? He's been here for 2.5 years. He's built up to this. He's built up to this season, this moment. Starts out the season unbeaten through seven. You really think he's going to spend 2.5 years of his life doing something and then just leave it for a job that...
You almost said nothing.
Yeah. For a job that, again, I mean, the Arsenal job is going to be open again soon. The Manchester City job is probably going to be open, you know, within 2 years, knowing how Pep has operated over the past couple of mm-hmm. 10 years.
So you're saying wait. You're saying finish the job. You've
I'm
got
saying
a team
finish
that
the
can
project.
Compete for MLS Cup. You've been disappointing
trust
the
project
for the last 2 years.
Trust the project. You've been doing something. He's been doing something. I think it'd be really weird for a guy like that to spend that amount of time doing something and then just give up on it.
He's not giving up on it. He's getting a better job.
I understand.
He's going somewhere else, a place where he was the captain of – I can't sit here and listen to it anymore.
He did
a
say
place where
it
he was a captain of the team, where he became
you think
a legend.
He thinks he's ready for that?
If he doesn't, then he's not going to take the job. Okay, that's fine. What is he working for then?
Why would he not be ready for that?
What is he working for?
Why would
he says he's not ready for it.
Yeah,
of course he's going to say it. It's the politics.
And then when he gets
say.
There, he's going to say it's going to take a really long time and it's going to be really slow and we're not going to win this year.
Yeah.
And then when they win something in the first year, he's going to go, I'm amazing at this.
Yeah.
All of you guys are idiots.
That's what he is. That's how it works.
This is a dream job for him in a dream scenario.
Dream scenario? Why is it a dream scenario?
Because it's one of the biggest clubs in the world playing in one of the
best. Is it one of the biggest clubs in the world?
Yeah, it is. In every single number. Every metric. Except for trophies, maybe. It doesn't really matter that one.
When's the last time they won the EPL?
Every metric, they are one of the 10 biggest teams in the world. Money spent, people caring, followers on this, that, and whatever. The amount of jerseys they sell. Every single metric, they're one of the 10 biggest teams on this planet. And guess what? Guess what he gets to do? Be the one who wins a trophy for them again. How little pressure could you
have?
How little pressure could you have by taking over a team that literally hasn't won anything? You've now proved the point of.
But they have won stuff. They've won, what, two FA Cups recently? They're maybe favorites now to win Europa League.
Okay, Sporting KC. Thanks a lot.
But so the question is,
I don't know why I can't believe we're talking about it.
There's some interest in MLS coaches by Arsenal. Wouldn't you rather go by who has the most success in the MLS playoffs? Wouldn't they have to look at like Brian Schmetzer, Greg Vanney? No, I'm not getting any traction on this, Ben.
No comment. Ben, give us the laugh. People wanted People wanted the laugh from you. They wanted the iconic laugh. Here's the other thing people are talking about. I saw the odds makers, Dave, said it was 3-1 that Arsene Wenger takes a MLS job.
I mean,
where would we plug? Let's plug him in.
Well, we do have.
We're not going to plug him anywhere.
We do have a mailbag question.
Oh, do we?
Asking Arsene Wenger for USMNT.
Oh.
Please discuss.
No.
No one's even going to.
Marino's already got the job.
I don't even know what world Doyle lives in.
If he walks into if you're the new U.S. national team GM,
because
you're like the only person it's an upgrade for,
he
walks into the room, Arsene Wenger. You interview him. What are you asking him? What are you picking at here? What are the pros and cons for you? I'm pointing at you, Doyle.
Oh, for Arsene Wenger?
Yeah, yeah.
For USMNT.
Yeah, for U.S. national team.
Wow. I don't know, man. I don't know what the first thing I would ask Arsene Wenger is. I guess I would ask first and foremost about his familiarity with the player pool, about what he plans to do in terms of I was going to say honing a style, but really creating a style from scratch, because for the past 7 years, the team hasn't really had a style. I would ask what he thinks about playing in a federation where most of the games he plays are going to be dealing with the counterattack and dealing with a bunker. Like, what is your plan to crack that open? I would ask him about youth integration, what he thinks about the U-20 teams, the last two that did so well at the Youth World Cup. I would ask him about what his thoughts are on where he wants to draw the player pool from, because we know Jurgen Klinsmann had an issue with that. We know Bruce Arena and Bob Bradley both talked about that. I mean, Klinsmann straight up said, I'm not going to take players from the championship. That's why Danny Williams got frozen out. That's why Tim Ream got precious few chances, and you know, so on down the list. I mean, where would we be now if Klinsmann hadn't told Emerson Hyndman, you have to leave Fulham because they're in the championship. You have to go sign with a Premier League club, any Premier League club, because it would be better for your career. Hyndman basically hasn't seen the field in 2 years. So I think you have to ask him about all of that holistically. And, you know, I make a lot of fun of Arsenal, but I've always been impressed as hell with Wenger's vision for reshaping that club. And in the process, he reshaped English soccer. He was the first guy who had a team that I saw play actual soccer in England.
So,
go ahead.
Obvious follow-up. Where did that go wrong over the past 5 to 7 years?
He just didn't have plan. He didn't have a second idea. He had one great idea. He changed the way the game was played, and when everyone else did it too.
I can't believe I'm Arsene Wenger right now, but yeah. Okay, so, I mean, this is what the
English you take Arsene Wenger, he says he wants the job, Ben, or you have a mystery box of whoever else is
of an MLS, a current MLS coach.
You're taking mystery box.
Yes.
All right, that's if you're a U.S. national team.
Because I think if you're a U.S. national team coach, you have to have multiple things to go to in any situation.
You don't think Arsene Wenger could be tactically flexible and imaginative?
He hasn't
been in a while.
Do you think Anthony Hudson's on the hot seat because Wenger's available? And the connection between Colorado and...
Okay, Doyle.
What else we got in here?
As much as I like the win over NYCFC, it's still an East Coast team heading west. I would have taken more out of the game if the Timbers played like that on the road or at home against LAFC or SKC. This was then that's Perry in Portland, followed up by Dusty in Cascadia, who said, can we please drop the axiom of discounting games that are won or lost against 10-man or 9-man sides? Every week there are red cards, which means it should be an accepted and planned for occasion. It can be revealing to see how a team functions up or down a man. We said like 5 times in the first segment, but it was against 10 men. Whether we were talking about games in the past this year already or this weekend.
I'll give Dusty credit for this one. I think it's a very reasonable take in that there is a situational awareness and like tactical difference in playing between the two. At the same time, you should, as a professional team, probably have the ability to do that and get a result and or win against a team that has fewer players than you, especially if you're given an hour plus of that.
I'd actually be interested in seeing the numbers, and I don't know if we could do this year compared to years past.
Do we have a researcher?
It feels like it feels like teams have gotten better at punishing teams when that go down a man, or certainly down two men. Like teams have gotten more ruthless in front of net, and maybe it's just a effect of spending more money on attacking players.
To me, when you have 11 versus 10, it just turns into a lot of games. I mean, there's something to take out of some games, but a lot of games just turn into a kind of training exercise, and I don't really value that at all in terms of trying to evaluate players and teams.
Speaking of Ben being the research bear, question for the research bear, when was the last time that the same team was the last undefeated team in back-to-back seasons with the NYCFC loss? FC Dallas are the last undefeated team like they were in 2017.
Yep. Taylor,
we have a response for that. They are the first ones.
Oh, we do have a response.
We do have a response.
I didn't get that response. Okay.
You did. You just didn't look at your email.
I didn't look at my email, clearly.
So there you go. FC Dallas, the first team in history to be the last undefeated team.
They'd also be the
seasons.
First team to miss to be the last unbeaten and then, you know, miss the playoffs.
Playing it forward there.
Taylor from Ithaca, Boric Dokal shouldn't start another game over Fontana. Fontana shows more creativity, instinct, and effort than their flop. This is what, two games in? Three games in?
Five. It's been five games, David, and they've scored one goal.
Who is that on, though?
The one goal that they scored on?
No, I'm saying who's at
fault. Oh, sorry. Akam's not finishing. CJ's
Sapong
not.
It's been a lot of written about.
He's
know,
not Sapong's been finishing. Pico's not been finishing. But Deutschko, like, if you look at the way Philly played, and I think at some point last year, Jim Curtin addressed this, is like, we're just not getting enough guys into the box. We're not taking advantage when we have teams pinned into their own end. And they made an adjustment, and the offense got a little bit better at times last year. Deutschkoll doesn't get into the box. He just never does it. And if you look back at the first game of the season, where did Fontana get his goal from? Basically acting like a second striker, getting into the box and sort of feeding on the chaos that CJ creates. Five games, David.
So everyone else on board here?
It feels like two because it's pretty invisible.
Okay, we've got a warm pro Chivas take here. It says, y'alls, except Bobby, previous dragging of Chivas was misguided. They are a solid Liga MX side, just one sans finishing. Specifically, they're improving bend but not break defense, has conceded three or more goals only three times since last July in all 46 competitions, Liga MX, Copa MX, and CCL.
That's our measurement of a good team, is that they've, like, how many times they concede three or more goals? What?
Let me ask a question. Do results matter?
Oh, boy, Bobby. Oh, boy.
Bobby?
They do matter.
It's such a Bobby way of trying to make a point.
Yeah.
But like in the completely opposite way that Bobby would make that point.
They matter.
Yes, they matter, and Chivas have been at the bottom of the standings basically five of the last six seasons.
So I agree with you.
Just no. I'm sorry about that Chivas take now.
TJ in Oakland, this final will be epic if TFC can go down and win in Guadalajara, in my opinion, the most Mexican of Mexican cities against the most Mexican of Mexican League teams. That will be an epic way to finally win this trophy. TFC supporters, get your tickets now. If Chivas, the people's teams, win this final, can erase their season of shame by protecting Liga MX's honors against Jose and Captain America, son of that heartbreaker, Bob Bradley, well, that will be epic as well.
A lot of epic here.
Yeah.
That was a lot of words.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, we said it as we previewed the show. I mean, this is the stakes here for the teams involved and for the leagues involved to a lesser degree, Liga MX, to a greater degree, MLS. Pretty high, but it's a final. That's the deal. That's what's going to go down. I can't wait to not watch it as I'm on a plane over the U.S.
A few more here. Mike from South Carolina. Listening to the last two episodes, you guys, especially Doyle, are high on LAFC. Doyle said they end first in the West, and everyone else agreed they'll be at least top three in the West. Everyone agreed that depth is an issue, but what about the key players they lose during the World Cup? Do you expect them to stay consistent during that month, or is the West so bad that it won't matter if LAFC has a bad month?
It'll be a tough month, but I don't expect either Costa Rica or Mexico to last long. So I don't think
Costa Rica. Well, I'm not even thinking about that.
Yeah.
What about Belgium?
I mean, I'm not sure that Simon is a lock to go So I think that they're actually going to be okay. They won't be as good during that month. And let's say it'll be what? The Portland at Portland versus DC at FC Dallas at San Jose games.
That could be three losses.
Yeah, it could be. But I still think they'll be fine.
Who is more – this is going to sound really stupid. I'm already questioning asking this. Who is more important to the way that they play, Urania or Avila?
It's actually a decent question, right?
See, I would almost say Urania.
Right. Because he creates
– the way he – his movement creates a lot of space in behind.
And he's – Look, such I'm not an underrated
guy. Guys, is giving me a look right
yeah,
now.
You realize, you realize he's tied for the league lead with five assists?
I just want people to know there's a group chat that I live in that's just like this all the time. There's this insane groupthink personality that they get on. Can I ask you guys another question?
Yes. Sure.
Thomas De Lorenzo, if Piatti played for a large market team, would he go down in history as one of the best players to ever play in MLS?
I mean,
he's got a lot more to accomplish to get there, yeah.
You got
to
win something.
He hasn't even won a Canadian championship, I don't think, right?
Yeah. No, he won one because they made it to Champions
League. That was the first year he was there. So they won it the year before, and then that's
how
they
got to that tournament.
Yeah,
I don't think he was there for that one. So he got to a final, and he was a huge
part of that. He got to a final and Eastern Conference Championship.
Yeah.
I think he's had, you know, he's had a lot less talent around him than you can, like, if you look at, you know, Robbie Keane, Javinko, Villa, all those kind of players.
He hit 50 goals this weekend.
I haven't compared him, you know, in terms of like per 90 per game types of stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think he and BWP are the two guys of this era that we don't talk about a lot in terms of like all time greats who should be. But if you go back and look at PIDs, I would love to see where he ranks in terms of like goals per 90.
But I kind of feel like BWP is past that point. I know Red Bulls still want to beat that drum.
BWP's
but to me,
past
that's
that
like
point.
An old. That to me, that's an old conversation. Like we've moved on past the like. Does he belong? Is he any good? Yeah, he's really good. He's, you know, what if not the best goal scorer in the history of the league? He's in the top five. BWP, Piatti though, when you're, you know, he had 2 17 goal seasons. He's carried.
They've only
this
made
team.
The playoffs one of his 4 years, right?
Yeah.
So
who's that say more about, Piatti or the folks building the team and his teammates?
I think it says more about the folks building his team and his teammates. But it's like, it's just one of those things. If you're stuck on a bad team for the duration of your career, you're never going to get the same amount of love as guys like Javinko and Villa and
Robbie
Keane. Yeah.
All right. That's it from us here. Let us know what you think. CCL final coming up. Let me know what you think of that game. I'll be checking on Twitter and following in that manner. 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. You can watch it. TSN. Univision Deportes, go90.com is your streaming option on that one. Toronto FC down 2-1, trying to reverse this and make history for their club, for Major League Soccer. We'll, of course, talk about it on Thursday. And remember, Sunday, Bank of California Stadium, Dave and I will be there. Holler at us if you're in Southern California and want to chill, get a beer, play some pickup, whatever it may be, and go like the Facebook page, facebook.com/extratimelive. With that, we're out of here. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody.